Doctor Show for natural, organic gardening advice. And now the Dirt Doctor, my dad, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number, one line open right now. If you want to jump on there, is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. The Organic Club of America, that's our membership area of DirtDoctor.com. There's seminars, there's some videos there that aren't available anywhere else. Seed from my garden right now, seed that are available, and different levels of joining get you different things, and I guess you know, you can request one or the other of these seeds, and I've added to that. I haven't mentioned that this morning. The ones that are currently available are Inland Sea Oats, a wonderful native ornamental grass. Some people think it's too aggressive and too invasive because it grows so easily, but I love it. I have a lot of it at the office and at home, both. And if it gets to be more than you want, it's pretty easy to thin it out and keep it in the size that you would like to have. The other is a wonderful little tree called a Mexican buckeye. For those in the north, you'd almost have to treat it as an annual or protect it in the winter in a container or something. Be a great bonsai plant all through the south. And a lot of the country, it will grow, and it's extremely easy to grow from the seed that we provide, the Mexican buckeye. And the other thing I just did, I had a really nice crop of garlic, and I just put it all together in some drying bins, and I left it probably too long out in the dog run greenhouse area, and I finally trimmed it up and kind of cleaned it all up, and I had a real nice supply of the little golden corms that grow on the base of this great big giant elephant garlic that I have. It's so incredibly productive. And for a period of time, I've got quite a few. I've got several hundred probably of them, and I'll get with Doug. He handles all that stuff, and we'll make some of those corms available to new members so you can get a start of this elephant garlic yourself. And once you have it going, you won't ever have to replant it. I've found a very nice thing to learn about it is it comes back like gangbusters. I've got both the corms that are little, about the size of the end of my little finger, and I also have rounds. And a round is a bulb that hadn't turned really into a cloved bulb yet. It's just a single piece of garlic, and you can cook and eat with it, you know, or you can plant it, and it'll become a nice big cloved garlic the next season. So join the Organic Club of America or re-up, and you can take advantage of some of those and gifts and books and various kinds of things. The members also get a discount on the course, on the Natural Organic Certification course. Here's Art in Fort Worth, Texas. Hey, Art.
Hey, how are you? I got two questions. Well, I have some black oak, and they have all these white spots on them. I was trying to figure out, is it hurting the tree? Or it doesn't seem though it is, but I don't know what it is.
Well, first of all, let's talk about how you got black oak in Fort Worth, Texas. Are you sure they're black oak?
And they may not be. It's not live oak. It's some type of oak.
Okay, is it a deciduous tree, native tree? In other words, loses its leaves in the winter.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You may have post oak.
Black oak.
Post oak or blackjack oak.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Blackjack. Okay. Blackjack oak is one of the red oaks, and the post oak is in the white oak group. They're both good trees. They're both really tough. The only thing I've ever seen go wrong with either one of them is when we've had terrific droughts and the moisture level has really dropped dramatically in the soil, they can punch out. They can have some real issues. The white spotting on the leaves generally is...
It's on the trunk.
It's on the trunk. Yeah. On the trunk, no problem at all. No problem at all. That's lichen forming probably or something like that, and nothing to be worried about at all. Sometimes spotting on the leaves is kind of a temporary little mild disease thing that is really nothing to worry about. But on the trunk is absolutely nothing to worry about at all.
On the tree itself. Right. Last question. Mm-hmm. What is there for armadillos? Is there any...
We have them. I'm laughing because we've had an issue with them at our house in the past as well. You can trap them
under the foundation.
Mm-hmm. You can trap them, but to trap them, you've got to set the trap up either against a fence where they're moving, so they'll just walk right into the trap, or set up a funnel with some big boards to so that they'll walk and hit the boards. And the funnel will just lead them right into the trap. Generally, you don't even need any kind of a bait. They're just kind of goofy, and they'll just walk right into the traps. And then you do with them whatever you have to do with them. We have had some luck in the past. It's been inconsistent, but we've had some luck in the past with people using repellents and getting rid of them. And the thing that has worked the best, if they're out working – in an area where they're rooting around and, you know, sticking their nose and tearing up things, and you go out and put down real heavy red pepper or any kind of hot pepper, and they go into that area and get a snout full of it the next night, they'll do a double back flip in the air, and you won't see them again.
But, what about mothballs?
No, you don't ever want to use mothballs. Mothballs are toxic. They set up a smell that is dangerous to breathe. Contaminate the soil and really don't work that well anyway. Try the hot red pepper.
Try the pepper.
And if that doesn't work, you're going to have to trap them. And we've got photographs and an explanation about how all that works in the library of dirtdoctor.com for you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
Let's go next to, where am I going? Chicago again. Mike's turn. Hey, Mike.
Yeah. I got a question for you. I got emerald ash that is coming back from all the emerald ash on our place and area have been killed by pestilence. But we just cut the tops out of the one we got in the backyard because it was a swing tree. We didn't want to try and figure out how to replace it. So we just cut all the tops out of it. Now it's all coming back. But there's these big black ants that have taken up to making their ant hill around the base of the tree and possibly even under the tree and in the tree. And my wife was concerned because she thought it was going to be a problem. And I just said, no, these ants are, if anything, they're probably going to help the tree by, they live in the flare and around the flare, and they're just, they don't, I don't believe that they would harm anything. In fact, I think they would probably be a benefit, but I don't know.
I think you're right. I don't think that any ants really hurt trees. They're opportunistic. They'll come in and take over an area that has died and, you know, carve out a place to live and stay and have their young and stuff like that. But ants do very little damage to trees, hardly ever. If you want to kill them, you can easily. With orange oil, 2 ounces of orange oil per gallon of water. You can kill them with the spinosad products, commercial products, but I don't think they're doing any damage to your tree.
Well, they're the same ants that have set up a pretty extensive network in the bed where we plant our rattlesnake beans, you know, those really long Chinese beans and stuff. And they just swarm on these bean plants every year.
Now,
they never have bothered the plants. In fact, they eat off the aphids or whatever that are on the plants. And it makes it a little cumbersome at harvest time because they crawl all over you while you're harvesting
right.
the meat, but they don't bite or anything else. And we don't really kill anything in our garden. We just plant enough for everything and everybody, and we just harvest around all the creatures. So,
well, that's a good way to go. And like you're noticing there, the ants really aren't harming the plant. Now, fire ants, like we have down here in Texas, will eat the plants. They'll do some damage to the plants, but most of the other ants don't. What they're feeding on is not the aphids. They're feeding on the aphids' waste. It's called honeydew, and that's what they're eating. So leave them alone, keep doing what you're doing, or, you know, kill them if you have to with some kind of orange oil.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have to kill them unless they start getting to be like 2 feet deep in the backyard.
Yeah, no, don't worry about that. The ash tree is the emerald ash borer is a problem. If you need to treat for it, you can use the spinosad products. You can use real good quality neem. The Arbor Jet is a technique, is a device that injects material into the tree that helps with the emerald ash borer.
Oh, that's great to know.
Okay.
Okay, well, thanks. We'll keep up with your show, and thanks for being there.
All right. Appreciate the call. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.
Texas Natural Feeds offers the finest quality non-soy, non-GMO, non-medicated feeds available on the market. Their elite line of feeds combines organic alfalfa, organic kelp, yummy peanut meal, omega-3 essential amino acids, over 60 trace minerals, direct-fed probiotics, and vitamins to make tasty and nutritious poultry feeds. They also produce quality sheep, goat, pig, and rabbit feeds. Visit their website at texasnaturalfeeds.com or call 254-829-1317.
Lava sand is a critical part of my organic recommendations for bed preparation and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. I have found a high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. It's American Rio and their Maverick Lava Sand Soil Amendment. It'll dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production.
It can now be delivered directly to you by tote. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752. Or go to AmericanRio.com.
Mosquitoes can transmit deadly diseases including Zika virus, West Nile virus, and dengue fever. Use Summit Mosquito Dunks to kill mosquitoes before they become disease-spreading pests. Just float an organic mosquito dunk in ponds, bird baths, rain barrels, and any standing water to kill mosquito larvae for 30 days or longer. Don't worry, mosquito dunks don't harm people, pets, fish, birds, or other wildlife. Mosquito dunks are available at fine garden centers and hardware stores.
Ladybug Natural manufactures extremely high-quality compost, granular and liquid organic fertilizers, mulches, soil amendments, and the nutrient-rich Magic Sand. All Ladybug products start with the finest all-natural raw materials and have dependable consistency. Ask for Ladybug at garden centers, farm stores, hardware stores, Whole Foods, and other quality retailers. To find a store and for more information, visit ladybugbrand.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Do your probiotics have baggage? They should. You see, if your probiotics do not include prebiotics as well as postbiotics, then you are missing out on a lot of healthy benefits. Most probiotic products do not contain prebiotics, their food, or postbiotics, the organic matter that promotes the long-term colonization of the good versus bad bacteria in your body. But Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics does. Select live probiotic bacteria are blended with fruits, vegetables, seaweed, and herbs, and allowed to grow over 3 years to assure superior digestive and immune support. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics then combines this rich culture medium, prebiotics, and the resulting nutrients from this fermentation process, postbiotics, providing you with a superior probiotic supplement. No other probiotic can offer your body this support. So switch to the best premium probiotic on your retailer shelf today. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, available at fine health food stores. Don't accept a substitute.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth:
Vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth, vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth, animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth, animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth, children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth, children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Okay, Howard, back with you. And we've got an open line. You want to jump on real quick at 866-444-3478. Before I go back to the phones, a couple of quick follow-ups. Last caller mentioned emerald ash, and there's not really an emerald ash that I know of. There's an emerald ash borer, and that's the pest that I brought up and mentioned there briefly. And it's called that because he's green. It's a pretty green borer beetle that is very destructive on ash trees and other related trees. And like I said, it's an invasive pest, not native. You know, it's introduced to this country, and it's really hit a bunch of trees up in the Chicago area and Boston and up in there. A buddy of mine is involved with a company. He's an arborist involved with it's a procedure and an equipment thing called ArborJet. If any of you listening are dealing with that or any other really bad invasive pest, you might want to look into the ArborJet techniques. They use some chemicals in this deal. They rationalize it by the fact that the chemicals are being put in the tree instead of spread all the way around. But the same company also uses that extremely high quality neem product called Azosol. And I think the spinosad products and some other things that we recommend, along with the sick tree treatment and the dramatic root exposure, is part of the solution to those invasive part of the solution to those invasive pests. And then a little follow up on what was mentioned is black oak by one of my Fort Worth callers earlier. Black oak is a tree. It's a tree that there's a black oak that grows over in the eastern part of the United States, and then there's a California black oak, two completely different species, grows out west. They are very closely kin to red oaks. Basically, they are red oaks, but a little bit different. We don't have a lot of experience with them because they don't grow in our soil here. They probably take a more acid soil condition than we would have around here. But if you have black oak, the same kind of thing that we talk about all the time, the organic program, the basic stuff, if stress happens and you have some problem with the tree, the sick tree treatment with the root flare exposure is the first step is the solution. Here's Philip in St. Joe. Philip, what's going on?
Good morning, Howard. are you, Steve?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Great. I have tried your method to try to kill Johnson grass for the last 3 years. I mow it, mow it, mow it. I've used vinegar.
It won't give up, huh?
It won't give up, no, sir.
Well, those are the only techniques. Usually the heavy mowing or heavy grazing alone will take care of it because it doesn't respond to that very well at all. Have you been able to do it on a pretty regular basis? Well, I guess the next thing we need to try is either the flame, one of the flame devices like the Red Dragon when it's first starting to grow. I think that device can be very effective, and or the fatty acid products like the BioSafe product. That'd be the next two steps I would try if the other techniques are not working for you.
Dragon propane deal. I tried that. It kills it for a week or so, and it grows back.
Well, I haven't had a lot of experience with that, a little bit. I played with one at our office on some weeds and did some research on it. And the only thing I would tell you that if you didn't try, you might, if you still have the device.
I do.
Is yours one that runs off propane?
Correct.
Little propane tank. The thing about the propane killing weeds is most people put the flame down too close to the weed, and they burn it up to char it, and that leaves the crown intact. If you keep it away from the weed so that it's just the intense heat finally melts the weed away, it will tend to kill the crown more thoroughly. You see what I mean?
That too.
That didn't work for you. You've got some incredibly tough Johnson grass there, Philip, I tell you. What are we trying to grow there instead? Let me go this route.
Okay, I'm just trying to get it ready to plant Sudan.
Okay. Some people would think that Sudan's is a bigger problem as Johnson grass. Boy, I don't know what to tell you. It may not be worth continuing to try to completely kill it. It may be better just to really rip it and prepare it with new organic ingredients, plant the Sudan and maybe some native grasses and get a salad bar effect going, which is what most of the ranchers that are into the kinds of things we talk about do. They don't ever try to have a monoculture at all and just let the different things grow together, and the competition of the different grasses may be the just what the doctor ordered to get your Johnson grass under control.
Great. I will try that.
Give that a shot and get back with me. We'll figure this out one way or the other.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Philip. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. I'll be back. Recovery Nutrition is not only about food, but also about proper hydration. High-quality water is mineral-dense and not processed for the greatest amount of nutrient absorption and a more speedy recovery. Crazy Water naturally contains over 11 minerals and electrolytes. Nothing is added. Crazy Water is so good, it's crazy. Get some today at Whole Foods, Central Market, HEB, Kroger, Brookshire's, Albertsons, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with GaraJuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, GaraJuice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Let's chat with Mary. Hello, Mary.
Oh, good morning, Miss Garrett. It's great talking to you again. I planted an alcea and a chinquapin tree last Monday. The chinquapin, I didn't realize, was so tiny. It's like barely 2 foot tall in the ground. And it looks good, but the althea was beautiful. It had bulbs all over it, and now the leaves are turning yellow. So I did water it almost every day, but the one day it rained, I didn't. Maybe I'm not watering it enough because of these, leaves turning yellow.
Well, you may be watering it too much, Mary. Althea or Rose of Sharon is more sensitive to too water than not enough, probably. And we've had a lot of rain. So if you've been watering it every day and it's newly planted and water's staying right around that new root, the root system the way it is now, it may be too much water.
Oh, and you know what? The neighbor this morning was outside, and I told him it was turning yellow. He said it needs water every day. So we watered it. We watered both trees a lot.
Well, the chinquapin oak will be a little more tolerant of that, but even there, if you overwater, if you keep the soil sopping wet, that's not good. Plants in pots might need to be watered every day. But I think we've got a couple of pots at our house that we've watered too much, water them every day, even in this heat. And if they're in the ground, if the plants are in the ground, every day is absolutely too much.
Oh, my my gosh. Well, now it's got a plenty of water.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that soil is moist. So get an old golf club with the head broken off and use it as a probe around the ground, see what the moisture level feels like, and don't water again until it dries out pretty well. Don't let the plants completely, you know, dry up, but don't let them stay sopping wet all the time.
Yeah. Well, this morning I felt of it, you know, the dirt around the althea, and it wasn't dry. It was sort of, it was a little bit sort of damp.
Yeah, if it's damp on the surface, that means it's probably too wet down in the bottom.
Oh, do you think that killed it?
Because
I watered.
You just need to cut way back, and you might spray it with Garrett juice and drench some Garrett juice the next time you water, not right now. And it might come back, but it is sensitive to too much water. You can get root diseases on that plant easily.
Oh, okay. Well, the other thing is I bought a white althea. I didn't even know they had them. And I've got it ready. Now, that's a tall one. It's 5 foot tall, but has no bulbs. And I was thinking, I'm going to go ahead and plant it beside that the other althea. How close would you say to plant them to, you know?
Oh, I'd keep them 10 or 12 feet apart at least.
10 or 12 feet?
Uh-huh.
Okay, 10 to 12 feet. And the one last thing, this morning, a lady, you told her what to put on the stump to disintegrate it.
Right.
It sounded like saltpeter, but is that S-A-L-T, salt?
Uh-huh, salt. Peter, it's potassium nitrate, and it's sold in the stores as a stump killer. It's also used in making ammunition and a lot of other things. But, yeah, it'll be available at the feed stores and hardware stores and things like that.
Oh, great. Okay, so now I'm going to worry about my tree. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Okay, just don't overwater it, and I'll talk to you later, okay? Let's go next to Fort Worth. That was Fort Worth, and this is Fort Worth. And Neil. Hey, Neil.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
I had a couple of questions for you, but I also wanted to follow up on that conversation. I think it was Philip about the Johnson grass.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, I'm getting ready to try to kill some Bermuda grass and some other weeds out of my pea gravel, and I've used scythe in the past, and I've also used the torch.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, what about using them in combination? You know, do one and then come back the next day and do the other.
I think it'd be fine. The only thing is, if you kill the living tissue with the torch, the scythe is not going to be very effective. So it would be use the scythe first and then burn it and try to kill the crown of the plants with the flame.
Okay, and I guess after you've killed it with the scythe, it doesn't really matter if you sort of overcook the remaining foliage, because it's going to be dead already anyway.
No, in that case, I'd probably just try to cook the heck out of it, and, you know, almost burn the surface of the soil if you go that route, yeah.
All right. What I was calling you about, I bought a hibiscus yesterday, and it's got about 5 or 6 stems, and it looks like I ought to be able to root divide it. Is that a problem?
Is this a tropical hibiscus or a perennial?
I think it's a tropical, but let me look at the label real quick.
If it's multi-stem and it's all coming from the same crown, I think that dividing it would hurt it. If they put more than one plant in the container, you can tell it's actually different root systems, separating them would probably be fine. This ain't the best time of the year to do it, though, when it's this hot, is
right.
My only reluctance for you.
It is tropical.
Okay, well, it probably was multiple trees stuck in there. I've never seen a multi-trunked tropical hibiscus. They exist probably, but I haven't seen them. So I bet you they stuck several plants together in the pot. And if that's the case, they can be easily divided. But the only difficulty is going to be this the stress from the heat.
Okay. Well, I'm going to soak it real good before it goes in the ground anyway.
Okay.
The other one I wanted to ask you about is I've got a little space on the north side of my house next to the kitchen that is it's surrounded by white walls, so it stays bright all day long but doesn't take any direct sunlight.
Okay.
And And I would love to try to put some kind of a little salad garden out there. What can I put in this time of year that won't be ruined by the heat?
Well, the mesclun mixes that are out there are probably tough as anything you can get. None of them are going to like this heat. You know, the salad crops basically like spring and fall, you know, the milder temperatures. But get some mesclun mixes at the garden center and give that a whirl. If they're not getting direct sun, you may have some pretty good success with it. Go ahead and give it a shot. Seed, not that expensive, so give it a try.
Okay, I'll do it.
All right. Talk to you later. You might be able to find some transplants around, too, that you put some transplants in and some seed, and that'll give you better odds going that route.
Well, I actually already kind of got a start on that. I found a Malabar spinach a couple of weeks ago, and I've already got it going.
Well, yeah, it's tough as nails. It won't mind the heat at all.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
Let
you.
Me know. Yeah, the Malabar spinach is not really a spinach. It's a good-looking plant. Red stems, beautiful dark green foliage. Some people like the taste of it, and some people don't. It's not my favorite, but it's a really tough one. One thing, Bob Webster and I were talking about this the other day on his show. One of the things that I was going to do and never got around to this year is planting jicama. And I talked him into it. He had never grown it before, and he's really enjoying it. It's grown like crazy for him. And you might just put that on your list for next year. You could probably plant some now and still get decent production, but it would be better to get ready and plant it from seed next spring, and you can grow some more jicama than everybody on your street needs. It really is productive. It's a pretty big old vine, pretty flowers, and fun to grow. Let's see what John in Rowlett is up to. Hey, John.
Hey, Howard. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Well, I hope you can help me here. I had a Bermuda grass lawn, both front and back, and over the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, it's just gradually gotten worse and worse and worse with all these foreign grasses in it. Now, not weeds, you know, grasses. It's everything from Dallas grass to some other kind of broadleaf grass. I'm not sure what it is. That may be crabgrass. It's a broader leaf grass. And then another one is a grass that is it's kind of a flat, and it's got a round core kind of to it, and then all the stuff grows out from it real low to the ground. It puts out these, you know.
Okay. Well, I can tell you what will work as long as there's one thing that you answer correctly for me.
Okay.
Are we in full sun?
Yes. It's got plenty of sun. Sun is not the issue.
Okay. The product that will work for you. Well, tell me one other thing. Fertilizer. What are you doing?
I just, you know, a couple times a year fertilize it, but not
chemical fertilizer.
Both.
Okay. All right. I want you to change over to organic fertilizer. One of the ones that we recommend. They're easily available here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And you want to do one additional thing. There's a product on the market. It's the only selective organic herbicide that's currently available, and it's called AgriLawn, AgriLawn, AgriLawn Crabgrass Killer.
AgriLawn Crabgrass Killer, okay.
Right. It will kill the weeds and not hurt the Bermuda grass at all if you apply it properly. And properly means that you wet the whole area down, and while it's wet, you dust this product out in as fine a dust as you can create with a turkey baster or a dusting miser or, you know, something like that. Shaking it out of the can, the holes in the can are too big. It doesn't work very well. You need a real fine dusting of this stuff. It's a product that's made out of baking soda and cinnamon. Cinnamon is the active ingredient. I think there's some other herbs in it as well. But when you dust it out on the wet turf, whether it's St. Augustine or Bermuda grass or Zoysia down here in the south, it turns everything yellow at first, and then it turns the weeds black and kills them, and the Bermuda grass might yellow a little bit, and then it'll come back if you're fertilizing with organic fertilizer and Garrett juice and things like that, and come back and fill out for you, as long as you're in full sun. And you say you are.
Agrilon, Well, now, again, what I'm needing to kill is not weeds, but grasses, other grasses.
Now, it'll kill the other grasses. It'll kill crabgrass, and it won't work on Dallas grass that well. You need to chop it out with a mattock. But the other things it'll help you with. I'm going to have to go. If you had something else, I'll put you on hold here. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this. Espoma Organic Garden Tone is a great product. It's specifically blended for organic vegetable gardens. Its all-natural formula contains Biotone, a blend of organic ingredients that supply major nutrients and trace minerals for a strong, healthy soil and mouth-watering vegetables. Of course, these products are safe for people and pets. You can visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. These products are sold all across the country. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
The best things in life are free. Free of gluten, dairy, allergens, and GMOs. And that's important in today's toxic world. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. Ohira's Probiotics has prided itself on purity that creates this certified vegetarian whole food supplement. The nourishing prebiotic culture medium in Dr. Ohira's Probiotics is comprised exclusively of pure spring water, fruits, wild vegetables, mushrooms, and seaweed. This carefully balanced and perfectly blended composition goes through a three-year fermentation process, allowing it to maximize the natural health-promoting properties of each restorative ingredient. The final result? Dr. Ohira's Probiotics is an organic, living fusion that merges and encourages the evolution of your own exclusive internal bacteria, helping to support a healthy digestive system. Discover the Dr. Ohira difference and live free. Look for Dr. Ohira's Probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Farms and greenhouses throughout America rely on BioSafe systems for healthier plants and better yields. You too can enjoy longer blooms and better results in your own backyard and garden with BioSafe weed control, disease control, and plant food. BioSafe Systems believes products should be effective and safe for use around pets, children, and wildlife. Our products are certified organic, so you can feel good about using them in your own backyard. Visit us online today at www.biosafe.net to learn more. BioSafe Systems, simply sustainable, always effective.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. We've had a couple more guesses on the contest, the mystery plant. People have guessed tarragon and... I think somebody guessed allspice. I thought I saw somewhere, but we haven't gotten it yet. May not. It's a little bit of a tricky one this time. We'll have another one for you next week. If you want information about the course, that's the prize, if you name the plant right, it's right there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Here's John in Gainesville, Texas. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Okay, I've got a source for compost. And he makes it from horse manure, and of course it's going to have the, you know, the horse stall sweep in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if that sweep is going to have chemicals in it. It's going to be bad for a vegetable garden.
Well, it's a good question, John. It's a possibility. I'll tell you what I can here. If it's straw, you know, that means it's the stem of wheat, oats, barley, things like that. And would have less chance of having been sprayed with herbicides. You know, it could be sprayed with herbicides if it's genetically modified and can take the spraying. But hay, on the other hand, which is also sometimes used in the bedding, has a very high percentage of chance of being sprayed with chlorpyrifos and picloram and things, those recalcitrant herbicides that can be that can last through the composting process and be a problem. So that's the answer for you. If it's straw, the chances are pretty low. If it's hay, the chances are pretty high of contamination.
Okay.
The
well,
only
that's
way
what
you
needed to know.
The only way you'd know for sure is if you knew who grew it and what they used on it, or you know you grew it yourself.
All right, appreciate the help.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right.
Yeah, I wish that wasn't the case. There's still universities recommending the stuff and still a lot of people out there spraying, and it causes all kinds of problems, and they're kind of growing in a way. Pat, and is that Lead or Lead, Texas, Pat?
Lead City.
Lead City, okay. That explains it. What can I do for you?
Last week I called in and mentioned about two oak trees' roots running towards the foundation, and you said not to worry about that. But I forgot to mention that I have two crepe myrtles right next to the house and a palm tree, will those roots go underneath the foundation? Is it a concern for me?
Well, it wouldn't concern me. Crepe myrtles don't have extremely aggressive roots. Palm trees don't have aggressive roots at all. Plus the fact, if I remember right, when you and I were talking before, I told you that the best root barrier there is the foundation of the house.
Correct.
Roots will normally hit a foundation and not dip and go under and cause a problem, but hit and go sideways and build out between fill out more between the foundation and the tree. We don't get too terribly nervous. It's possible that they can if the foundation is damaged, if it's cracked, if there's a leak under the house and the roots get into that moist area, they'll build up more once they discover some water. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But if there's no construction problem, there's no flaw in the beam of the house, we normally don't recommend it. There are millions and millions of trees planted near foundations all over the world that aren't causing any problems at all.
Okay, yeah, because my main concern is that they would go down and under. That's not a problem then.
Generally speaking, they will not do that. If you had a moisture situation that was going that pattern, that direction, down and up under the house, they'd follow the moisture and do that, but you rarely have that situation at the foundation of a house. So it's possible, it's just rare that it's right. That it's a problem.
And I have one more question. Mm-hmm. I have a house also in Dallas, and I was listening to the conversation about the crabgrass going through the Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned that a full sun is not much of a problem, but it's a problem if there's very little sun because there's two oak trees in front of the house.
It's a problem for the Bermuda. Yeah, Bermuda needs at least a full half day of direct sun.
So how do I eliminate the crabgrass plus all the other nasty grass?
The things that are growing in there? Well, you plant St. Augustine grass is the first step, and then if it gets too shady past that, even St. Augustine grass is going to have a problem, and you have to switch over to what we call ground covers, you know, things like ivies and Asian jasmine and things like that.
So St. Augustine is the best grass for very minimal light?
That's right. It's our only shade-tolerant grass. There are people that'll try to sell you, they've been trying to sell me for a long time, that zoysia will grow in the shade, but it will not do very well in the shade. St. Augustine will until there's, you know, less than a half a day of sunlight, and then it's going to have trouble.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, the Bermuda grass really needs full sun all day long to be healthy. I said a half a day for it, but half a day is more for the St. Augustine. Full day for really healthy Bermuda grass. Full day of sun.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you, Howard.
Matt, thanks for calling. And thanks, everybody, for calling today and talking. We had some good tips, some good questions, good conversation, a couple of things I'm stumped on a little bit. We'll keep working on. In the meantime, before I see you again next week, go to dirtdoctor.com for your questions, information about our school, our free newsletter, the stem cell therapy, all that right on dirtdoctor.com. See you next time.